just before pulling out one beautiful element of the gospel, just and I have to dwell, unfortunately, on the masking. We've been complying with what the county has asked us to do during the mask mandate. Some parishioners, we saw this over the weekend, some parishioners came in and when reminded of the need for masks, when offered masks, just simply outright refused. A small number, but I certainly, during the mass, could see some who just simply chose to completely disregard it. In one case, someone was a little bit more belligerent about it, but we did not see ourselves as the ones who, beyond that, had to begin to police it. But because of that, we did get a phone call from the county yesterday telling us that they received a report that we are not in compliance. As a parish, we are, but individually, some have simply decided they're going to use this place, this celebration of the Mass, as the place where they're going to protest. And I my response to that is this: there are many good, legitimate ways to protest an order that you may not agree with. You can write to the county, you can file a lawsuit, you can do lots of things, and it's one of the beautiful privileges that we have as Americans to be able to do that. But what I would ask is that this celebration of the Mass, the holiest thing that we do, that it not be reduced down to or lowered down to a platform for one to make their own stand against the mandate. I completely understand one's desire to make known their disagreement with it and would want everyone to exercise every right that they have that way. But to use the Mass, the Lord's Last Supper, as the place where that's going to happen, it turns this into something less than it should be. And it's also, it's not fair to other parishioners who are worried and concerned. And it leaves us in, as it has been often throughout the pandemic, in that very uncomfortable middle ground. I don't want to make a bigger deal of it than I need to, but I also don't want this coming weekend for another concerned parishioner to file a report that somehow makes it seem as though the whole parish is not in compliance. We're doing our best and relying on you to help with that. And I'm sharing this now, and I know that it's out online, and if there are people that you know would benefit from hearing this, I would invite you to share it with them. I don't think this weekend that we're going to do much, make a much bigger thing of it, other than just once again reminding parishioners of what we're asked to do. And I would say again to those who are not in agreement, go out and do everything in your power in every channel that you have. But this is not the place, I don't think, for that. There are lots of really good other legal options, I guess, that you'd have. I'm not a lawyer, but that this would remain the sacred and holy and beautiful thing that it's meant to be. So just I share that with you, just want you to be aware of it. I think part of the reason I'm sharing it with you now as well is because I will be gone, flying out tomorrow morning for my 2-week spiritual direction course. So I won't be here. So I guess I'm enlisting your help with all of this so that it doesn't fall completely on the shoulders of our ministers and Father Evan and the staff to police that. So I'm grateful for your help with that. In the gospel today, every time I pray through this, there's a really beautiful piece that I think Mark wants us to see. There's an exchange, a switch that happens. The leper has been unable to go into towns because of his leprosy, so he's kept on the outside. He approaches Jesus and says to him, "Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean." He's healed, but then notice what happens. The leper is healed, so he's able to resume his regular life again. He's able to be back with his family, back to worship, back in the towns and all of that. But then, because he publicizes the matter, Mark tells us that as a result of that, it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. Rather, he remained outside in deserted places. You see the switch that's happened there. And that there's something really significant in that. It's a prefiguring of the cross. He takes our place. And with the leper, who's now able to return back to family and friends and enter into the cities and the towns, Jesus is the one who has to remain outside in deserted places. And what happens here is a prefiguring of a far greater and more beautiful and deeper exchange. He takes our sins on himself on the cross. And as we hear and we pray through in those beautiful words through Isaiah the prophet, he bears the burden of our sins. He pays the price for our sin. And this is the depth of God's love for us. And I invite you, in light of this gospel today, to let the Lord show you in a more personal way what that looks like for you. For the leper may not have ever even known the price that Jesus paid in a certain sense spiritually, and maybe have never seen this exchange happen. We are aware of it, but it never remains just at an abstractly universal level, but it means very particular things. It's my sins, it's my junk, it's the punishment that I should have borne that he takes on himself. It's a very real one-to-one thing. But that the Lord might awaken my heart to that reality in a very personal way, so that my love for him and my awareness of his love for me goes deeper. Just an invitation for you to pray in that direction today, that you might become more deeply aware of his love for you in light of what he's taken from you and willingly taken on himself, and that in light of that, then, your love for him might grow deeper.